can turn the world on with a smile. You can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's your girl and you should know it. Each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around,
don't need to fake it.
You can never it down.
Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Rose. Do I sound different? Listen carefully. Now do you hear it? Can you tell? No, it's not the fact that I was wheezing earlier. That was right after I danced around to Clap Your Hands by The Coup under my earbuds. I was dancing around, inventing dance moves that one might see done by robots, as well as by African-American Baptist gospel church singers, with a little obvious aerobics moves mixed in. That was kind of my dance style. Not my usual kindergarten Snoopy Peanuts Gang dance style that I'm so well known for. But I was busting a move under my earbuds while simultaneously watching a live kitten stream on my TV. Which might be why I'm talking in this little tiny voice, because I'm watching little tiny kittens at some foster cat person's house, which lately has just made me think, could I be a foster cat person? No, I couldn't. I could never do that to Millie. I could easily sneak it past my landlord because, like, there's two or three dogs living in this complex, which is, like, way illegal, according to the lease, whatever, who cares. But, and my apartment's carpeted, and I don't want to play dodging the landmines of cat pee and cat poo. Because, you know, some cat moms don't train their cats, their little baby kittens on the cat box so well. My Jezebel didn't do that with her cats. Nope. We had to carry them there ourselves. Although, when she did do it the first couple of times when they were very teeny, I gotta admit, it was pretty horrific to see, because she would carry her newborn by putting their entire head in her mouth. And, like, the last kitten that she had, let's just talk about kittens for a while. Hey, everybody. It's Kitten Talk with Rose. All right. Everybody got your pussy? Good. Let's run for president. So she had half a dozen kittens, but the last one was born way after all the other ones that were pretty much like pew, 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 pew. That was five pews, right? Only they were silent. Not deadly, just silent. But the last one that was born way later was actually deadly in its placenta sac. And, you know, I read all the cat birthing manuals that I could find back in the day, back in the pre-internet age. When I was working in bookstores, I would look in the pet section and do research, because I don't know nothing about birthing no babies or no kittens. And, you know, sometimes you have to reach in and turn things around like you do with the calf, and I wanted to be prepared. Thankfully, I didn't have to do that, because frankly, would I have been able to do it? Would Jezebel have died right there in kitten birth in front of me? Hey, let's not even go down that road, okay? I'm sorry. But the last one was born way late, and what I had read was that for the mother cat's nutrition, it's good to leave the placenta there for her to eat, you know, from like whatever, because all kittens have some placenta. It's not just human moms that are being really disturbing and doing that. It is actually okay for cats to do it. Humans, you can't always do things that animals do, okay? I don't care how back to fucking nature you want to be. So this last kitten was stillborn in its placenta sac, and the next morning we woke up and it was gone. Jezebel had eaten the entire thing, because, you know, the dead kitten didn't really have hair or bones, really. So yeah, so that's why it was kind of scary when the first time I saw her pick up one of her newborns by putting its entire head in her mouth, like she was some fucking lion tamer with her own, by making her kitten be the tamer. That's not good. Kittens can't be tamers. Okay, I'm sorry, but there's just one more kitten talk thing I've got to say. Because, oh my God, there's the cutest little calico being played with right now and jumping around. And Calico was the kind of cat that Jezebel was. Oh my goodness, now we get to see the mom kitty. Wouldn't you know it, the mom kitty is Calico too. And there's also a little dreamsicle kitty. You know what I'm talking about. The orange and white, the dreamsicle kitty. Like my beloved Randy Bachman. Oh, Randy Bachman. You're still alive and with us. You're just not with me. And I miss you. Okay, so now that I've been talking about kittens for a while, do you notice how I sound different? No, you don't notice? I have one less tooth. That's right. One less tooth to answer or brush or floss or whatever. And I don't even have the tune right. And who cares? You probably don't even know that own song. You know, one less bell to answer. One less stair to climb, I think. One less dick to blow in an alley. Is that how it goes? I don't know. Feels like it should these days. My neighbor just dropped something. Okay, that's good. Sorry. Remember when I decided that my booking my trip to Paris was going to be the impetus? Is that the right way to say it? That was going to like really motivate me to get some other shit done that I've been delaying on forever. And chief among them was going to the dentist. I haven't been to the dentist in probably 5 years. Yeah. And, let me do another sidebar. We're not going to go down Kitten Lane again. Don't worry. We've already visited that area. We're going to take a little detour. One of the other things that I said I was going to do as I just inhaled there, sounding like Brenda Vaccaro advertising Kotex back in the 70s. Look it up. I joined the gym. I took a tour of the gym. Then I chickened out from going to the gym because I realized I would probably hurt myself on the equipment. But then I kind of came around again to the idea of just going to the elliptical and working towards it, even if it was just one day a week. And then a woman was stabbed to death right around the corner from it. Yeah, she wasn't just stabbed once. No, it was a real... He was very enthusiastic and thorough. He was plentiful with his stabs. And the guy that did the killing was actually an off-duty bouncer. Well, no, he had worked that night at the bar that's also right across from the fucking gym. He had worked at the bar that night and then after the bar closed, he and a patron that he'd been talking to, you know, flirting with, I guess, or whatever, all night long, left and walked approximately one block before he stabbed her, like, at least 20 times. So that, I don't know about going to the gym. Now, the dentist isn't deadly. That's not the bad thing about it. But, it's a costly, it's turning out to be a very costly decision. At a time when I don't really need any expenditures. Have I mentioned that I paid for my airfare full and clear? Hooray for me! I don't have as much in my checking account as I would like to have, because normally I like to have at least one extra month rent in there in addition to the one that I'm paying. Normally, before, I would try to keep like 3 months rent, but, you know, life isn't cheap, no matter how frugal you are, because you just can't change your rent. Honestly, anywhere else would be more expensive than where I'm living here in this apartment. I digress. So let's just go ahead and get to it. How valuable is my mouth? What is this investment that I'm making in this big hole of tiny bones that looks like tiny toes in an X-ray? $1,900 was the first estimated bill that had, like, you know, it had all the details about the cleaning, which I think I spoke about already, and the crown buildup and blah, blah, blah. And that's a lot of money. But, you know, like I said, I haven't gone in 5 years. So, you know, people, if you break it down, divide it by 5 years, it's not as much money what people spend per year, annually, whatever. But then I found out that that getting the tooth pulled that had the little loosey-goosey crown on it that I could no longer sleep on my back because I was worried that it was going to just finally pop off and I'd choke on it. Even the consultant dude, the surgeon, was worried about that when he saw me. Anyway, that's another $300. Mm-hmm. Yep, so now I'm super concerned that the root canal that's in my future, that's on an abscess tooth, this is sexy talk. This is Sexy Talk with Rose, Sexy Kitten Talk with Rotten Teeth, your co-host and full-time host, Rose. Now I'm worried about that root canal. How much is that fucker going to cost me? That's not part of the $1,900 bill. How much am I going to think about that while I'm in Paris going into every fucking boulangerie? Boulangerie for a baguette? Bonjour. Bonjour. Okay. So, you know, it's a good thing that I'm an introvert because, you know, staying home, it saves me money. Oh, Jesus. Saves me money. What am I, Popeye? It saves money. That's what it does. I am saving money. I'm not save me money. And, you know, more reason for me to stay home right now is I can only eat soft food. Because I just had a tooth pulled. It was so far back, giant molar, sad, broken tooth that could barely hold up the crown that was wobbling on it with a whisper and a chair and a prayer. Maybe a chair. It was like a, more like a seesaw, though, just rocking back and forth. It's weird not having that little friend to play with anymore. My tongue is lonely because there's nothing for my tongue to do with my abscess root canal tooth. There's nothing. There's no motion. There's no motion in the ocean. Needing lotion there. So anyway, the tooth is so far back that even though it's not really a wisdom tooth, they still call it a wisdom tooth instead of a molar because it's like that far fucking back there. I don't know why they do that. That seems confusing. It's been orange yogurt, it's been vanilla yogurt, it's been chocolate pudding, it's been chocolate ice cream. I taste tested the chocolate ice cream the night before my surgery because I just wanted to make sure that I wouldn't come home from the surgery and be really disappointed and then be without any decent chocolate, extreme, extra, all the way in your face, punch you in the dick level of chocolate moose track ice cream that I got. Taste test was successful. It was very good. It was cold. And I can't use straws, so my plastic mason glass cups, I've got to unscrew the lids before I can drink. Because that's right, I do have a glass without a lid on it, but I very rarely have a glass without a lid because I'm like a three-year-old. I'm clumsy. I'm not really that clumsy, but I'm worried about my clumsiness. Hi, welcome to Anxiety with Rose. Thanks. Okay, cool. And plus, cats like to drink from water glasses. And I really love a lot of things about Millie, but the idea of getting some kind of feces-borne, litter-clumped ailment in my bowels because we shared the same water glass, I don't... No thanks. No thank you. Oh my God, hang on. I've got to find another live kitten stream because... This one, like the previous two that I was watching. That's right, the previous two. Before that, I was watching more from Maya and Bialik's YouTube channel. Yeah, she's my favorite feminist neuroscientist. What can I say? Some of you might know of her from Blossom and Big Bang Theory, but, ouch, sorry about that sound in your ear. Okay, I gotta find a lively kitten stream or else I'm just gonna zzzz. Damn it, they're all snoozing. Oh, nope, there's one little guy awake. I found a kitty channel that has the quad vision. Just like I watch the Big Brother live feeds sometimes in the quad vision. But right now, there's nothing to watch there because they're doing competing, and so there's not even the live Big Brother feeds to watch. Sorry, Sanchez, no giant bear. God damn. Okay, I'm getting derailed again talking from tooth talk, kitten talk. That fucking mark on Big Brother is huge. He's just a giant. Like, my thighs have there's no gap. There's just pure abrasion between the two chub things scraping together. And like, they're still not as big as Mark's giant arms. And his thighs are like the size of my big meat sausage waist that went nowhere. See, as soon as the kittens go to sleep, I start getting a little sleepy doodles myself. I guess I danced out all my coffee. But so back to the teeth thing. You know, it's kind of amazing, actually, that there's not more stuff that has to be done. That's all that needs to be done. I don't have any fillings that need to be done. It's just get rid of that one tooth completely, boom. Deal with the root canal, boom. And then do a crown build-up piece thing so I can still have some chewability on the bottom left side of my mouth. Chewability. But it's kind of amazing that it's not worse, because there's been times I just will have this horrible habit of eating an entire package of Tic Tacs in bed, or Christmas time, the lovely ribbon hard candy that we all love so much. And I would just, like, I don't suck on the Tic Tacs, like I crack them between my teeth. It's like I'm daring myself to break my own teeth. And it's just, it's not a healthy habit, is what I'm saying. And it's amazing that I didn't do more damage, or any damage really. Because the tooth that broke away, like, that happened years ago, like pre Tic Tac issues era, whatever. And also, because I do have a couple of other teeth missing. I know I sound like a speed freak. I've seen piles of speed twice in my life, once when I was 17 and once in my 30s. Maybe I should talk about that sometime. I don't know. Who cares? And so the dentist would always say, like, oh, we should give you like a partial, you know, so that way, because otherwise your teeth will start shifting in your gums. And I had tried having like a replacement tooth, and it just would come out whenever I ate a sandwich. And that was super embarrassing in college. That's right. I was in college and I had a tooth pulled. How sad. Look, I was super poor for a long time before then too. Okay, so fuck off, you classist son of a bitch with all of your goddamn teeth. Fuck you and your decent healthcare. So what I'm saying is that shifting never, ever, ever happened. After 30 years from like when my first tooth was pulled more than 30 years ago, it's the, like no shifting whatsoever. Because apparently, while I inherited many things from my dad, like his nose, huge, his ears, car doors, his stutter, kind of gone away when it died with me when he died, his sense of humor and gregariousness. I had long thought that I'd inherited his crappy teeth, because it seemed like I had worse dental visits than my mom or brother, and my dad had lost all his teeth pulled and dentures before he was 40 years old, like when he was in his 30s. So I was convinced that was my fate when I had my first tooth pulled when I was like 19 years old. It's like, oh my God, I'm gonna be like, mum, 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 mum. That's me gumming. I should not have done that, because, you know, speaking of gums, mine hasn't healed yet from the surgery, because that was just day before yesterday. Man, that first tooth pulling, let's talk about that for a real tiny quick second there. That was the first time that I had ever been completely knocked out. Just zzz, news alarm. My God, that I did not respond well to that drug at all. When I was, you know, my, what are we going to call him? You know, because there's, I think part of the reason why I haven't talked, like told stories about my past is because the rapist, my personal one. You might have, unfortunately, your own, statistically speaking, if you're female. Odds aren't good for you. It's great. you know, and I don't want to keep using that word over and over again because it's an ugly thing, it's an ugly experience, and it's an ugly word. Still, I'm not deadened to it as much as it gets tossed around in jokes and blah, 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 or misused, like, man, the cost of that pizza really raped me. Like, eat your pepperoni and shut the fuck up. But I don't want to use his name because I also don't want to, you know, I don't want his name in my mouth, yo. Maybe I'll just call him TB. That's his initials. He was very disease-like, much like the, you know, there's tuberculosis, TB. So anyway, that's when I was still living with TB, was when I got knocked out on the tooth juice, and they had to put me in the waiting room afterwards while TB was going to bring the car around to drive me home. And of course, because I'm like wasted on this gas stuff, because I've been like knocked out and it's, you know, it's gas stuff. I don't know if it's, I don't know what the fucking hardcore shit it was. It wasn't laughing gas, I'll tell you that. It was fucking weeping. Time does not fucking move gas is what it was, because it felt like I was in the waiting room for hours for TB to get the car. And I just was like fully weeping the entire time. I suddenly had this like horrible, horrible black cloud of depression just completely sweep me up, out of the blue. Instead of like, because before I went in for the dental procedure, like this was the time of my life when like I didn't drink at all. I didn't smoke pot at all. Like I said, I had seen a pile of speed before. We'll talk about that another time. But I didn't do drugs, and my friends didn't do drugs, except for my roommate that had the pile of speed, which, you know, again, talk about another time. If somebody actually tweets at me to do that, ha ha, no one will. All my friends were like, oh, this will be hilarious. You get to have like laughing gas or, you know, this thing that's like, you'll get high, but like, you won't be like some druggie. It's something that you have to have done, but you'll get to have like some fun benefits with it. So I was looking forward to it. It was horrible. I wanted to kill myself. It was horrible. And so then TB gets me in the front seat of the car and, apparently doesn't bother to put the seatbelt on me and doesn't notice that I am too incapacitated to do that, because it's like, I'm sorry, but limbs don't work when eyes cry wet. I mean, it was just, I was out of it. And so I'm there slumped in the seat, and he closes the door, and so we're riding. He's driving, you know, to back to where we're staying. We're actually like going to his parents' house for some reason. I guess probably because it was cleaner than our scum hole apartment or something. And his parents were out of town, and so I think he was house sitting or something. So we were there, and there was a dog there, which will come into play in a second. So we're driving there. He's driving. I'm slumped over in the car. I'm slumped like against the unlocked door, which was unusual because normally living in inner city DC, we kept our doors locked all the time while we were riding in the car, which is a thing I still do. It's just when you're in the city, when you're anywhere now, as far as I'm concerned, you always like ride with your doors fucking locked. But I guess since we were going up to Cheverly, Maryland, oh, the delightful dream world of Cheverly, Maryland, The car door was not locked, which I found out as he rounded the corner and I started falling out of the car. And of course, I am three sheets to the wind, like fucking OxyContin, fentanyl, Michael Jackson, pre-knowledge of pedophile era experience. And TB, you know, grabs me to pull me in. Hey, qualified. Sorry, wrong way. Oh, dark. Pulls me in and then like slams the door shut. And of course, that just freaks me out even more. The fact that like my face almost hit pavement at 30 miles an hour. That was not cool. So then we get back to the house where we're staying, and I'm in the bed, and I'm also super excited that there's a dog there, which I think was part of the reason why we decided to go there, because I love dogs. And so this was a chance for me to be, you know, or with the dog while I was recovering from having this tooth pulled. And it was not a good experience because I I grew up with female dogs who I never even saw go in heat because they were fixed when we got them, you know, or before we brought them home. Fixed, listen to me. Like they were broken. Of course they were. They were female, weren't they? Bitches be broken. So this was my first male dog. And what that means is it was my first dog dick that I'd ever seen. It was my first full red, pointy-tipped Oscar Mayer wiener, and I was already depressed. My face had almost scraped pavement at 30 miles an hour, and now I'm seeing this bright red, hysterical, bloody tampon-looking, moist dog cock, and it's no, no, no. So, you know, needless to say, when the surgeon offered me an IV drip, or actually when we just even talked about the like an IV drip, I already had I was already coming with baggage of like, no, less drugs is better for me. Me only like, if it comes to drugs, only marijuana. Thank you very much. No drippy drip dog dick. Speaking of drippy drip dog dick, that you know, it had been a couple of good weeks where I hadn't really had much in the way of harassment or creeps. Maybe two full weeks, I think, since the guy yelled at me. Because I was looking to see if a car was coming, and he was in my line of vision, and I did not speak to him, and so that was a reason for him to yell at me because I was very childish to only stare and not speak, and I was not staring. Men. Anyway, so I had kind of a good stretch there. I don't know if it's because my hair is now a tamer color. It's less cartoon-ish. But on the bus ride home there from, you know, getting the price and the explanation from my surgeon, from the dental surgeon, the guy there at the bus stop, his shorts were more air than jeans. Thank goodness I could not see what his dick looked like because he was wearing, I could tell you that he wears briefs because he was wearing navy blue briefs. He's not a boxer's man. If you ever get the chance to ask him, you don't need to. You don't need to do the boxers or briefs. You can tell right there, navy blue briefs. And really sun-peeled, bloated, red feet and, just... So drunk in there at the bus stop with his shirt up and his red burnt belly saying, hello, hello, I'm too big for this shirt. And then his shorts saying, fuck you and gravity or whatever physics term it is that keeps us held together. It's certainly not gravity, it's thread. And they were sliced up on both sides. And, I don't know if he just suddenly got the idea, like, hey, I'll make these shorts into a skirt. And then he was like, oh, fuck, I'm supposed to slice out inside the thigh part of the jeans. But I sliced the outer part and the thigh part. Yes, that's right. They were just flaps on each side of the leg. And his underwear. Yep. But you know what? He had manners. Because he let me go on the bus first. He did the whole after you thing. And I was like, thank you, sir. And so there we go. That's it. Oh, by the way, I gave a peanut butter sandwich to a homeless woman this week. I'm just going all over the place here. Let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. So I usually have a peanut butter sandwich in my backpack at all times. So that way, if I get hungry when I'm out and about, I can just take a little nibble. Keep that blood sugar in check so I don't scream at people. But yeah, just keep that. I'm a smarty pants and always have a peanut butter sandwich with me. And I had just come back from the grocery store and hadn't needed to eat it. So it was still in my backpack when I walked down to the dispensary so I could get some marijuana to enjoy before my surgery because I can't have any for like the next few days. I had my surgery on Tuesday, and so ideally, I shouldn't smoke at all until next week sometime. I'm not bleeding. Everything's healed. We're not there yet to the story, though. Back to the peanut butter sandwich. So when I was walking down to the dispensary, there was a woman sitting on the wall nearby who wasn't, she didn't look too, you know, like I don't take any unnecessary chances just to try to be a decent human being. And I'm not often a decent human being. So let's just face that fact. So she was there, you know, looking chill and homeless. And so I just like approached her and said, "Are you allergic to peanuts? Like, would you like this peanut butter sandwich?" And her whole fucking face lit up. Like, it's just everything. Like, her whole, like, she sat up, her face just, like, opened up, her eyes opened up, her mouth opened up, like, a smile. It was just, like, such a shift. Just boom, give somebody a sandwich. And this person, I mean, like, it's not like she was, like, seemed particularly miserable, but she was, like, hunched over and small. But this was, like, hello, I'm a happy flower, I get a sandwich. It's like, yes, you are a happy flower. I'm glad you can enjoy a sandwich. Bye-bye. And I went to go get some weed. Because that's how I roll, motherfuckers. What the hell? So this Tuesday, I went to get my tooth pulled. And sitting there in the chair wearing my dentist dress. That's right, I have a dentist dress. Let's talk about this for a second. It's all based on comfort wear. I've got my leggings on. And then I've got a chemise, is it? Is it a Clarice? Wherever that Silence of the Lambs thing is. Because you know I haven't seen that movie. Fuck no, too scary, too gross. No. No. Too much for me to handle. Thank you very much. Is it chamois? I don't know. It's a super soft blue cotton thing. Basically just feels like I'm wearing a nightgown. It's the dress I wear when it's horribly hot outside and I've got to not look disgusting when I go to the grocery store. And it's also perfect for sitting there in the dentist chair when you're hating life. And it also apparently shows my tattoos because the sleeves are short. And well, mainly it just, you saw like the bottom of my tattoo sticking out. And which is like a maple leaf. I've got a bunch of autumn leaves tattooed. And this is the one that was noticeable was a red maple leaf. So our friend, the dental surgeon, said, "Oh, are you from Canada?" And I was like, "Oh, no, I've got a lot of friends up in Vancouver and I've been to Victoria and Nanaimo and Whistler. And I know like at least one or two other islands and small towns I've been to. Lund. I've also been to Lund. Thank you very much. Are you impressed, Sanchez? I've partied in Lund. Damn it. By partied, I mean drank beer and watched Canadian awesome punk rock music. And I was like, nope, I just have friends from there. But it turns out that the dentist himself is from Vancouver. Which is weird because my GP that I haven't seen in months, I haven't gotten to that check mark yet, she's also from Vancouver. Why the fuck would people leave Canada for America? Is Vancouver really horrible? I know Vancouver's expensive, but is Portland that much cheaper in terms of the shit you've got to give up? Or is it a work visa thing? I don't know. Look, let's not get into the bureaucracy of things, man. Free to be. Free to me. Not free to me. Nope. And I gotta say, my dentist also, not a four eyes. Nope. He's a six eyes. He had these badass glasses that had like, you know, lens upon lens, like a micro lens on top of whatever spectacles he already needed for his eyesight there. So it was like, oh, who's this Vancouver Asian mad scientist operating on my mouth? And you know, I really wish that they had remembered to put sunglasses on. You know, usually they put like some kind of eye protective gear on, because I was worried about like, what if while he's grinding and trying to like pop that crown off, it just pops off and pokes an eye out? Or what if he slips with one of his tools and it pokes and slices an eye out? And so then I thought, well, I'll just close my eyelids. And then I realized my eyelids will not protect me from a Sharpie thing, and I will not be able to react in time by putting my fist up and punching that Sharpie thing away from me if my eyelids are closed. So I'm just going to lie here with my eyes wide open in terror. I think that sounds good. And the other notable thing about that, there's nothing really notable about it. The assistant held my hand while he was putting the Novocaine shots in my mouth, all three of them, and they kept telling me how good I was and how much calmer I was than other patients. And I'm like, you can blow that sweet air up my skirt as much as you want, trying to bullshit me into feeling calm, because it's working. Look, nice lady is stroking my hand while I'm getting Novocaine shots in my mouth. It's the most action I've had in years. Pretty exciting. There's also a tool called the Minnesota. At first, I thought that was her name, but then I realized, no, that's a tool that he was asking for. Like, I'll have the Minnesota. I don't know what it was, because, again, my eyes were, sure, they were eyes wide open, but you don't really see things in detail. And you don't really, look, I didn't want to focus on the detail. I just wanted to be able to react, if necessary, to protect my little peeper holes, okay? Okay. So then, you know, like they put the, you know, stitches in and put the little gauze in there and explained all the stuff I've got to do and prescriptions that I've got to pick up. And I'm like, oh, well, I'll just wait and pick that prescription up tomorrow. And she's like, oh, you know, if your gums start throbbing at 2 a.m., you're going to really wish you had the painkiller. And I'm like, okay. And I'm figuring out, like, how long it's going to take me to go to the pharmacy on the buses and everything, plus get back home and have this stupid ice pack thing that you're supposed to be able to, like, crack and snap open to put on your face while riding on the bus. And I'm super stoked about that. And I'm wondering, am I going to see the man with the shorts that are mainly air? Will I be lucky with that, too, on top of everything else? No. And so they gave me the prescription, and I realized, holy fuck, they gave me, like, it's antibiotic mouthwash. Who cares? That's not the, I'm bearing the lead here. It's fucking Percocet, which is like generic OxyContin. But then when I realized later, because I was like looking it up while I was waiting for it and stuff, it's not the pure scary Oxy stuff. It's Oxy with acetaminophen, which I've learned also has a street value of $4 per pill. Because when you Google the medication, it comes up with all that information too. And I'm like, holy shitballs, I'm getting a fucking narcotic. And I gotta tell you, let me just pat my little self on the back here. In addition to already having a fridge full of cold soft foods, plus I bought boxes of macaroni and cheese to make and spaghetti pasta to make. Like, I was all prepared from the day before. I also didn't cry at all at the dentist. I didn't panic. It was just like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I am doing this. And then I just hunker down and suffer. And then it's when I come home and I'm like, oh, that really sucked. It feels really invasive having a stranger's hands in my mouth. And I feel like my whole face has been invaded. And then it's like, oh, something's been in my body that I didn't want. And you know, that eventually happens. But even that didn't happen like as much as it has in the past, because they were so awesome. But I'm super glad that when I walked out, I realized, oh, fuckballs, there's a Safeway right around the corner. I don't have to, like, go out of my way to the pharmacy. There's, like, one right here. And so I trotted my little fat ass over there with my giant football-sized left-hand side of the mouth. You know, like, I'm all elephant man looking. My mother was very beautiful. It's a great movie. Oh, David Lynch. Okay, so I, you know, went over to the Safeway and I gave them the prescription thing. And the dentist hadn't put my last name on the prescription. And the pharmacy, because as they put it, it's a narcotic. I don't know what class narcotic it was, but because it's a narcotic, obviously for every prescription you need a last name, but especially for a narcotic. Now, I don't know why they wouldn't call over to Gentle Dental. It's right across the street, basically. But they told me to go back and get my last name put on the thing. So I walked myself back over. And Gentle Dental was even like, yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't just call over. That's what they normally do. And I'm like, well, not for a narcotic, they don't. And I said, and I'm really glad that I thought to go to Safeway, because I'll tell you, Gentle Dental Dam. That's how I like to think of them. Gentle Dental Dam. It would have taken, depending on how long I wait for the bus and all that, it would have taken me at least half an hour to get to Fred Meyer's, plus waiting probably an hour for the prescription there, just like it did at Safeway. Only I would have spent half an hour on the bus going there, and they would have said, oh, we can't fill this prescription because your last name isn't on it. And maybe they wouldn't have called Gentle Dental Dam either. And so then I would have had to take the bus for another half hour all the way back to Gentle Dental Dam, gotten the new prescription, and then hopefully then I would have wised up and just gone to Safeway. But I could have been in a little panic state, which doesn't make me make good decisions. So moral of the story is, I left Gentle Dental Dam already not panicked, which meant I was smart enough to go to the Safeway, and even though they made a mistake, I averted it from being a big disaster. Yay me! I don't know, do I deserve credit for that, maybe? Something? No? Atta girl! That atta girl was specifically for Sanchez. She'll know what I'm referring to. So anyway, yeah, so there I was. I waited there in the Safeway. They had a private little waiting room that she had to use because I was like, I can't walk around the grocery store and shop for hard, chewy food. I've got bloody gauze in my mouth, woman. Do you have a place where I can sit, please? It's private. I want to be alone. And so she did. She unlocked this little room. I sat in there, looked at my phone. I've been participating on Reddit. I think that's enough said right there. Nothing creepy, nothing awful, nothing terrifying, just Portland stuff. Since I can't do the next door and I like to feel somehow involved in a community, I don't know. I don't know why I'm doing whatever. So I was there and then came home on the bus. And when I got off the bus and started walking down the street towards my home, and this is the street that has the corner market where I've gotten to know the Jordanian family, just two generations, because those guys are brothers, not father-son. The other guys are father-son, plus their nephew, and who has an awesome cat named Pistachio. That's how I know the corner market people. That's right, I know everybody knows this cat Pistachio, though. The motherfucker made a t-shirt, was selling it at the corner market of his cat Pistachio. How awesome is that? But I didn't think I could spend $10 on it, so I don't have a Pistachio Kitty t-shirt. But and it's also the same street where the pub is on and where my friend Kitty used to live. That's the code name I'm giving her, my friend that's going to watch my apartment while I'm gone in Paris. And it's where the coffee shop where donuts are, and it's where I've gotten where the little plant shop is, where I've gotten some things. So it's, you know, it's a safe neighborhood. It's a couple of blocks. I travel almost every day. Like, if I'm going anywhere, that's the way I'm returning. This one was special. As I walked just within the first block, I hadn't even made it to the corner store yet, because first there's a huge gas station. And so just as I'm walking past the gas station, I could hear this. I could hear muttering a little too closely than I would want to, because it was quiet and I had one earbud in listening to music. So it's not like, you know, not like it was somebody far away shouting. It was somebody close up that I could hear them speaking very, very quietly. And what he was speaking, choosing to speak and spell was, let's see, how did he put it? All I heard was this man's voice behind me saying, I got a weapon in my hand, bitch. This cigarette is a murder weapon, bitch. And he just kept saying that. I'm not doing justice to his voice, because how can you do justice to such a charming conversationalist? Really? So I looked over my shoulder and he was this tall, dirty white guy, like, you know, speaking of David Lynch earlier, like, you know, the giant in the Twin Peaks dream sequence, he looked like that, and he was wearing clothes that were all, you know, white, beige, gray, or just gray with dirt, and it was a hot day, and he was wearing a sweatshirt over another shirt, which is never, like, a sign of health when somebody's doing that, when it's, like, close to 90 degrees and super sunny. And sure enough, he did have a lit cigarette in his hand, And I took the other earbud out from my ear so I could fully be boxed in both ears if that was the way he was going to go with the cigarette. And I kept walking. And at first, I didn't go into the corner market because as I was slowing down to see where he was before deciding, but still kind of moving at the same time so I wasn't at a full standstill so he could like easily take a shot at me. That was the all of this roaming through my head at the same time. He slowed down for the dumpster that was there, of course, because that is a treasure trove, especially when there's a big giant metal rod that he picked up. Hooray! Let's continue walking down my familiar street, shall we? Okay, that seems really good. And the thing is like as he picks up that metal rod, then my feet just automatically start walking, but they don't walk into the direction of the market because again, there's still that stupid fucked up thing of like, I don't want to seem like a baby. I don't want to seem like a scaredy cat. I don't care if I die. I just want to look brave. Fuck that. And it was so weird because like I was walking past the market. I even had another shot of like getting Pistachio's owner's attention because he was just coming out of his car. But then I was like, well, maybe Pistachio guy will see creepy Twin Peaks guy and that'll be null and void and everything will be cool. Nope. Said hi to Pistachio guy, and he went in, of course, to work there at the market. And then I walked past the pizza joint, and they were carrying furniture out, but they weren't open yet, so I couldn't duck in there. But again, it was people carrying furniture out. So I was like, well, at least I've got witnesses. In other words, maybe he's less likely to do something when there's witnesses right there staring him at the face. So we've passed three people now. And then the next opportunity for me to elude our gentleman friend, our gentleman caller, was to duck into the pub. You know, the pub where I know everybody, where sometimes Lurch is. You know, like it's full of men. I don't always like the men, but I still feel completely safe around them. But nope, I still didn't duck in there either. Turned around and realized he has not also decided to stop off and, you know, maybe get a pint there at the pub with his sweatshirt in 85-degree heat and his lit cigarette and his metal rod. And so I do duck into the nursery that's there at the corner because the coffee shop was closed. And my last and final stop and option before just being in purely residential area, and I can't just go knock on someone's motherfucking door. So I ducked into the nursery and stood among the succulents. And the super friendly owner was there. She's like in her 30s-ish. She could be 40. I don't know. She's this cool biracial hippie in a good way kind of person. She's one that gave me a free plant last year because somebody paid it for it or whatever. And there's a great cat that's there. And she's like, it's the perfect safe space for me to go. Safe among the succulents and the cactus. And so I told her what was going on. And she's like, yeah, stay here as long as you want. Do you want me to call the cops? And I'm like, oh no, if it's like my experience on Hawthorne where I was actually assaulted, they won't show up for an hour and a half and then won't do anything. So it's not worth calling just for some guy following me and threatening me. Let's not waste our time and let's not get our hopes up and then be disappointed in the man once again, shall we? Nope. Okay, cool. And so yeah, I hung out there for about five or 10 minutes. And again, please keep in mind, I still like bloody gauze in my mouth. I've just had a fucking tooth taken out. Life is awesome, and Millie's jumping on me. So I looked around, you know, like look all intersections, all areas, all everything to make sure that I don't see Lurch. Not my Lurch. I don't see the Twin Peaks creepy guy lurking around there. And I made sure and like, I was very mindful on my walk home. In other words, like you don't walk past open doorways. You do a big half circle around open doorways or garages or intersections, you know, that are blind to you because of the building or going around a corner. Like you never want to be in a blind situation unless you can be far away from it. Like just all this stupid bullshit safety stuff that I get to think about as a lady. Whoa, 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 I'm a lady. But I'm also a bitch that he's got a murder weapon for in his hand. I got home okay and was just like, fuck balls. For the rest of the day of my surgery, like, I just focused on doing all the stuff right in terms of the medication I was using and the mouthwash and the not spitting and the not using a straw, I just was like doing all of that kind of stuff and didn't even think about like what had just happened. Like, fuck. It wasn't until the next day when like halfway through the day, I realized I've been sofa locked all day and I'm not high. You know, like sometimes certain strains will just sofa lock you. Like that's when, you know, like you're just going to watch a movie, you're sofa locked. Like, nope. I realized that, oh, this is my delayed reaction to what happened yesterday. Because I really, that's the thing. They gave me the Percocet, which I never have even needed to take. I only took ibuprofen when I got home and then before I went to bed that night. And then I haven't needed it since then. I've been doing great. So yesterday was a beautiful day. It wasn't crazy hot. It would have been a beautiful day just for a walk, you know, anywhere. And nope, not going to do it. Nope, 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 nope. Too soon for me. I can't do it. But today, at least, I made myself go to the UPS store to return some things. And I made the person at the counter laugh. So that was cool, I guess. That was a something. But I'm not going to go. Tomorrow, I was going to go see a Shakespeare play in the cemetery with a friend of mine from the book club. But that would be something that I would have to come home alone from on the bus after 9 o'clock at night. I'm just not up for that right now. I just, as I like to say, my skin just feels a little too thin right now when it comes to dealing with the world at night by myself, which I avoid doing anyway, and especially now I'm not into. And that cemetery has also been a place where the whole Breaking Bad Walter White zombie kind of RVs have been in the past, which is why I don't go there, even just to walk around the cemetery by myself. Like, I didn't do that at all last autumn like I normally would, because who doesn't love autumn in a cemetery, especially for the picture taken? All the falling leaves of different colors, all the squirrels that are super aggressive because they're used to being fed, all the moss-covered headstones, and then the crazy engraved, hyper-realistic, detailed headstones that the Russians have. Who doesn't love that in the autumn? Fuck your pumpkin lattes. So, yeah, I made myself go to the UPS store, and it's the same neighborhood where my dentist is. It's close enough where I could have walked home if I'd felt like it, and I would have normally, because, like, last week, I did so much fucking walking. I was a champion, and Saturday, I didn't even tell you about this. Saturday, I went to Oregon City with my friend Spike, and we did a ton of walking around there. It was like for Fitbit steps, it was one of my highest weeks in a long time. Sure, it's still a baby's crawl compared to what Sanchez has to do for work every day, but for a fat-ass shithead like me, it was the best I'd done in a long time. And this week, I am nowhere near close because, when I walked out of the UPS, there was a big zombie van, a zombie RV thing parked around the corner. And there were some criddlers sitting on the bus bench across the street with their skateboards and being all like scummy, gross, and criddler-like. Look up criddler, C-R-I-D-D-L-E-R, cool new slang for the homeless. And they were at the bus stop bench, but they obviously weren't waiting for the bus because I watched two buses going past. So I'm like eyeballing the zombie van. I'm eyeballing the three criddlers on the park bench that the gas station attendant is trying to get to leave, and I can tell they're giving him lip. And then I'm looking on the other side of the street, and there's this guy lurking in the shadows with his shopping cart, and one of his hands is very active in his pants. I don't know if maybe he was trying to refashion them into so where they would also be torn at the seams on both inner and outer thigh. I don't think so. I think he was, I think it was pocket pool is the deal. So I was not in the mood to walk home. I just stood behind a tree at the bus stop. So if he was going to stand there and keep puddling with himself, he'd have to worry from the image of me that he already had in his spank bank. He would no longer be able to just stand there and see me while he was having nature's way in a public place, like a beautiful human being. We're all love. Ugh. Fuck. So yeah, so I took the bus straight home, and now I'm trying to psych myself up to take a walk tomorrow, because here's the thing, it's really normal for people with major depression and wicked-ass PTSD to just become complete shut-ins. Like, that's not normal for normal people. But that is normal for this particular species, of which I am one. And I do not want to be a shut-in. You know, I stay indoors enough as it is. Like, I'm not going to go to the play tomorrow night in the cemetery. I told my friend that I was going to do that with. I was going to Joy from the book club that I went to the Rooster Rock with, blah, blah, blah. That I would get in touch with her next week to see about walking sometime. I told her what had happened, and she was like, damn. So, yeah, that's... that's the episode. Started out breathing heavy, jumping around, dancing. Looking at kittens. Kittens are asleep on the TV screen. Millie is asleep stretched out on the carpeting, although now that I said her name, she's just popped her head up and she's giving me the stink eye, like, what the fuck did you wake me up for that shit for? And I'm still wheezing a little bit as this rolls downhill to an end. That's the episode, folks. All right. Feels like, shouldn't there be more? I always feel like that, don't I? Don't you? Don't we all? Is that all there is, my friend?